All right, we are here. Gary Patterson, the fiscal doctor, is with us. And our phone number, if people want to give us a ring, 888-205-2263. Maybe this will grab people's attention. You're going to talk about the 21 ways to get instant cash, or what was the exact thing you said?
Well, we'll call it quick cash.
Quick cash. Quick that cash. Sounds pretty good. I'll take quick.
Instant cash, I think you can get when you take your paycheck due there and you pay the 39% interest. They'll give you instant cash.
Gotcha.
Cost is a little high.
Right, exactly. All right, so what are some of those ways?
And these work regardless of size. It's interesting. Some people are going to say, gee whiz, Gary, this sounds so simple. And the question is going to be, well, do you do it?
Yeah.
The first one is, if you don't send out statements when people owe you money on these things with it for a while, why would you think they're going to just send you money if you don't ask for it?
Yeah.
I've been amazed. I helped one company that was, this was about $100 million company that had a cash problem. And we found out that part of it, you know, it's a lot of hard work to just when you sell something,
yeah,
to send a statement out to someone. You
yeah.
have to run a computer run and put a stamp on it.
Right.
Don't want to do that kind of work like that and send out monthly statements. That means you've got to do the whole thing again. So
right.
they just didn't do it.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, I was looking down there and you say, well, how come all these things are over 90 days?
Yep.
Well, when was the last time you sent statements out?
Yeah.
I hope no one in the audience is guilty of that one, but I would think a couple people might have to look a little harder and say, let's look at it and say, well, when you send that bill out, why don't you send it out? And if there's going to be a problem, resolve the problem before you send it out so people can pay you.
Right.
And phone calls are great to ask people.
Right. And so you're talking about businesses who have goods and services that they provide the public or whatever, and they're not asking to be paid for their work?
That's exactly. Now, you come back and say, well, and some people will say, well, I can understand where a small company doesn't do that. But, you know, let's look at you.
Well, even more of a reason for a small company to do it would be they're a small company. They need that revenue coming in.
And the interesting thing is even the people that are sole practitioners, a lot of people don't like to do, quote, bookkeeping or dull and boring stuff. And they don't like to ask people for money because they might get offended, say no. So you just let those invoices sit an extra 1, 2, 3 weeks. And
well, you know, too, you think about it. You know, you have somebody who is an expert bricklayer. That's what they know how to do. They're mm-hmm. a mason. They can do an unbelievable job. They can do artistic work, laying brick, but not know the first thing about collecting a bill or the business side of it. The same with a doctor. The doctor might know the human body inside and out, up and down, left and right, know every possible thing that can go right and go wrong, but not know the first thing about how to submit a bill to the insurance company and to the individual. I would see that being a common problem for a lot of professions.
That's a lot for them there. That one that it's probably even as bad or worse are a lot of, and this you're going to really laugh at, accountants and lawyers are some of the worst at doing this one. They're so busy doing things and they don't want to do it. You think if anyone would bill, it would be accountants, CPA, and law firms?
Really? And they're the last?
Well, if they're not the last, they're pretty late in the process. I mean, a lot
funny?
Of things you come back and you'll say, well, how much do we owe? Because a lot of businesses that are run cash basis books like to know their bills.
Absolutely.
If you know that bricklayer knows how much money he has in the bank, if he's got a lot of cash, he thinks he's doing great.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is his lawyer hasn't billed him for 6 months because they don't want to do it or don't like it.
Yep.
Or the CPA hasn't billed for the tax return, and then these bills show up for $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. All of a sudden, it's like, what in the world happened?
Yeah. What are some of the other quick tips for quick cash?
And this was another I mentioned. Part of it is call the customers that owe you money.
Right.
It's amazing the fact of just sheer act of calling turns up money, but no one wants to do it.
Huh.
Another one is go down and find a way to increase your line of credit for the rainy day like today. The people that a year or 2 years ago went out and got a line of credit set up at a bank that's still around or a credit union or someone and has stayed current with giving them information, they have room. They, if that job comes in, they're going to be able to change on a dime and go forward. The people that didn't want to bother with it, and thought, I'll just expand this on my three cards. I've got $50,000 on these five credit cards. And now they find that the credit card companies are canceling the cards because they never used them.
Right.
Their credit's gone.
Yeah. Our phone number here is 888-205-2263. We have Gary Patterson, the fiscal doctor, who's in. You've got all sorts of books, too, I mean, that you've written and articles. And can you purchase the books on your website? Is that a place to get them? Or where can you find the materials that you've put out there?
If you'd like a signed book, if you go to the Wellesley Bookstore, there are a couple of signed books there. I have the books available on Amazon. The articles, they can just send a note to me and ask. A number of those are on the website in the timely report section. There are a range of articles and information available, again, for free.
Huh. Interesting. And we're talking right now about the 21 quick cash solutions, or quick cash, how to get cash quick,
exactly.
is how you put it. And where are we on that list?
Well, I'm skipping for the main high ones. This one is, it's people related. Let's think about, you know, we talked about the person who got the 3 months job for 3 months and is worried. Let's look at that bricklayer or someone who has employees who really hasn't looked periodically on what they call a greenfield basis to review his staffing.
Mm-hmm.
The company that he or she was, let's say a year ago, has changed. What this means is the people that are your employees,
yeah.
If you were to hire them today, again, for the kind of work you have, would you hire them?
Huh. That's a good question.
If the answer is no, you now have done something to be prepared. If your business were to drop 10 or 20%, if you've honestly gone through, stuck out your balance sheet and coughed in the personnel area and said, Sue and Joe, really, they were great at the time when I was younger. They don't have the skill sets that are there. There are reasons I really like them. But if I were to go hire everybody today, I wouldn't keep those two people.
That's a great, unique way to kind of look at your business, is to say, look, if I could hire. So what are you supposed to do then? Let them go? Is that the way to go? I mean,
that may be the answer. And I'll raise the other side of this. Let me say why it's in Sue and Joe's best interest.
Yeah.
If they're there working and they really aren't learning, they're not training, they're not progressing, they probably are somewhat miserable or worse.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes people, if you honestly tell them that and help them move to another job, you've done a favor for both sides.
I know it's hard to hear at this time about not losing your job, getting your pink slip. Obviously, millions of people have gone through that over the last 2 years. And, you know, it is hard to hear. And sometimes it can be financially devastating and emotionally devastating. But, you know, sometimes it is for the best. I think, you know, you look at the last 15, 20 years of your life, and you say the things that upset me the most that I thought were huge setbacks were actually things that advanced my career, you know, and put me on the right direction. And I think that a lot of times, like your example earlier about the, you know, making lemonade out of lemons, you know, it's hard to see the forest through the trees, but, you know, and it's easy said from my post here at a job where I'm working right now to say that, you know, it might be the best thing in the world that you got laid off or fired, right?
Well, because the problem usually is no one's ever told them that they were doing really a pretty crummy job.
Yep.
They were half-hearted at it. And the answer normally in these cases becomes, why didn't you tell me? I would have done something about it.
True.
I mean, this willingness to, in essence, you know, the people listening, if they want to balance things, they've got to really be able to use the perspective of life under a microscope.
Right, yeah.
Live to tell the tale. The insights and common sense approach are what they have to have as their business goes more complex. So
yeah.
The person who never told Joe that Joe wasn't cutting it anymore and he was a great person the first 2 or 3 years, but he isn't anymore, is doing a disservice to both. And the cash that's going out there may be cash they need to do something to save the company down the line.
Absolutely. Go through a few more. I know you have some others on there.
Learn which products are lost leaders and either get rid of them or raise the price. And everyone says, well, I wouldn't sell anything for a loss. It's amazing how many companies don't. I've got the story I had there is, why would a high-tech company keep selling its product at a loss?
Yeah.
I helped a company and came in the best seller we had.
Yeah.
we lost money as soon as we collected the cash from the person.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we actually delivered the product, or if anything went wrong, the loss just got bigger.
Yeah.
And it made sense to do it up front, because when we were building the business, we had to get people to try the product out. But no one was ever willing to reassess it. And then everybody forgot that this product came in that way.
Well, you know, what about some, you know, we'll take an example like McDonald's or something. They have a dollar menu. They're selling something there for a loss. I mean, it obviously costs them more to have a hamburger, you know, made, shipped, you know, delivered, cooked, all that, all of, you know, the marketing that goes into having that burger for a dollar. When in fact, you know, what they're doing is they're driving people in. They're taking that as a loss. But at the end of the day, they're making money on other products that they sell, and people developing habits coming in or whatever else. So, yeah, you know, is that kind of an example of what you're saying a little bit?
That's a wonderful example, because I actually have been in the hamburger business.
Oh, there you go.
I helped a company years ago. We went from $100,000 of revenue to $10 million and making money in 1 year.
Wow. And which hamburger business was that?
This was a group called Rally's. The group was Restaurant Development Group. We were going to develop, this may be a story they'll like, we were going to build 20 restaurants a year, a 99-cent hamburger.
Yep.
And there was only one or two small problems at the end of the first year for a startup. One, we didn't know how much it cost to build the restaurant.
Yep.
Two, we didn't know what it cost to operate it.
Yep.
And three, we couldn't reconcile the bank account.
Yeah, right.
Other than that, everything else was okay.
And those are three big problems, obviously. Yeah.
But the industry is exactly what you said, and a lot of industries are. The logic is you sell the hamburger for the 99 cents, and you make all the money in that industry in really selling the french fries and the sodas.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big thing to understand about the movie industry, is that they don't typically make the movie theaters make money on the movie tickets themselves, but all of the, you know, the $7 popcorns and sodas that you buy there, that the concessions are what really drives the theaters. And how they do their business. So a lot of times it's good to understand just how, you know, what drives a different company to get where they need to be, and where, you know, where their motivation is.
And to look at when the business model changes, because something like that is really a great example. The same thing that we did in these prepaid debit cards.
Yeah.
We built the business. The business was profitable based on an assumption, which was we got a lot of people buying a hamburger, and they came through and bought both the french fries and the hamburgers. If something happens and they don't have enough money to buy the french fries and the hamburger, all of a sudden what was a good business model isn't.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, the bricklayer, whoever's listening to us today, you have to take a look at your business model at least once a year with the companies I have, because when things change, the rule of thumbs that you've been used to don't work. Cash is where it shows up first, and that's why I emphasize these points on cash, because the analogy most people have is cigar box accounting.
Yeah, right.
And in case there's someone who's forgotten what that was, is for the longest time, a lot of businesses, you had a cigar box. And you put money in there. When people came in and paid you, money went in. When somebody showed up and said, pay me, money went out.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the people thought they had a profit.
Yeah, right.
But if you had 15 bills sitting in another drawer you didn't put in there, it didn't. And an awful lot of companies, small construction to larger, go on that same logic. An awful lot of people don't understand the difference in cash and accrual accounting, because it's not fun.
And, you know, a lot of times companies don't prepare themselves to grow, in the sense that they start off small. Maybe it's a home industry. It's something I'm just doing to pay my own bills, and they keep it a cigar box accounting style, but then aren't prepared for when things happen, and they can get into a lot of trouble, you know, from a tax standpoint, and just understanding what the overall costs are for the things that they operate on a daily basis. And that's where companies get into trouble, not necessarily for the business model that they have. It can be the greatest idea, but not having a business plan can really affect you.
Well, and that's where it's really great to have listen to a show like this for the information, have a good accountant or someone to ask these questions, because the person who's a great person, that bricklayer who really doesn't like to send bills out and doesn't like to do financial statements, and that's not their best interest, they need to have the kind of team that they get built by listening to this station, because those are the people that will sit down with them once every 6 months and just say, what are you doing? How will you grow? And ask some of the questions, because if not, they're going to get blindsided. They're taking a risk that you shouldn't take and don't need to.
Our guest, Gary Patterson, he's the fiscal doctor. You can go to his website, www.fiscaldoctor. It's the fiscal doctor. He's a well-respected author, financial advisor. It's coming on to the program today, and been on multiple times talking about these concepts. We're talking about the 21 quick ways to get cash. We've gone through a few, and I want to make sure that we touch upon as many as we can before the end of the hour. What's next?
Well, the other one is don't extend too much credit to your customers.
Right.
I know you want to do it and be good, but there's a point at which you have to get real.
And the temptation is there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because you want them to spend.
You want them to spend, and they've been good customers, but if they don't pay you, you've got a huge problem.
Right.
Review the rest of your expenses on a line-by-line basis.
Yeah.
I trust everyone's done that. I would say bring out the magnifying glass, put that microscope, look closer, because the cash you don't have could be the reason you can't take care of a great opportunity, because you're going to have to do more with less. That isn't going to go away. The new mantra may be, if things don't turn up as we hope, that you'll have to do even more with even less again. And that's hard work, but it's crucial.
Absolutely. These topics are so great, because I think it really takes an in-depth look, and it takes a objective, taking a step back and looking at the whole business model and reflecting on the things that we do each day with our business. And, just using the bricklayer example, we focus on doing what we do best, and we do that all the time. But oftentimes we can get lost and not be as guided as we should be. And that the one about extending credit, I have to say that that's got to be one of the biggest temptations for, a company to just continue. Somebody just keeps wanting your business, and they say they keep ordering your supplies, and you keep giving it to them because that's the nature of what you do. You want to provide a service, but at the end of the day, you have to be reciprocated for it.
And I've seen, unfortunately, way too many companies who've done that. I was helping a company recently who sold to the customers they knew and loved and had dealt with them for years. They just couldn't in their heart decide to cut them off, and they should have. When they lost $2 million, I don't think there are that many people on the audience today that could easily lose $2 million.
No.
I know I don't think I could.
Right, yeah.
Last time I looked. And that may be the best point for someone there, is get someone to look at this. That's the advantage of an accountant or a good bookkeeper or someone. If you can't do anything else, find someone else that'll wear the black hat and say, I wish I could extend this credit to you, but you owe me this much, hear bad things on the street, et cetera. I have to put you on COD or
right,
something
yeah.
like that.
And do you ever run the risk of tarnishing the relationship? I mean, sometimes you're walking a fine line. I think that's what people are fearful of, is that, they don't want to turn a customer away. But on the other hand, you probably don't want them as a customer if they're not willing to pay.
That's the advantage of COD. If that becomes a huge problem, is in most cases the idea is, would they have gone away anyway? I've been there. I know I voted once where we had a really good customer that wanted, for a company, they wanted a $100,000 line of credit. They needed to have it.
Yeah.
We had basically an executive meeting. We gave them the credit.
Yeah.
We knew that we stood probably at least a 50-50 chance we'd never see the $100,000 again.
Huh.
Fortunately, we had enough inventory to do that, and that was one of these issues where we made the decision. It was a one-time decision.
Right.
We also made the hard-time decision at the same time. There were people we did not extend credit to, and there were people that we put on COD basis, figuring that if they weren't going to pay us, why do we need to have a bigger receivable if it's not going to be collectible?
Right.
You've got to balance it exactly like you said. That is tough. That's why you get the big bucks for our clients.
Absolutely. And who are the people that you see? Do you basically see all different types of people, from business owners to individual investors? Is that the kind of your model?
The model varies a little. I have helped on a very limited basis the, you know, $5 to $10 million company that needs someone to come in and basically tell them the truth, get real. More of those are really what we'll call an assessment, a company that says, I know something isn't right. I'd love someone to find 5 or 10 of the most important things I should address. I can come in there, put them under the microscope, and usually the second week we can tell a company what they should worry about,
yeah,
get them started, because it's not easy. These things are invisible. When you're on the fifth floor, someone's got to jackhammer through those things to get down to the basement to see what's going on that no one understood because they're so busy running the business, selling, bottom line profit, taking care of their people.
And if they understood it, they wouldn't need you to begin with, and they wouldn't want your service. I mean, that's the simplicity, is you're peeling the layers of the onion away so that you can get to the real stinky part of the matter, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Gary, I want to thank you so much for coming on board today. Gary Patterson, again, a great guest. We're, you know, talking to him multiple times on these issues. He is the author of how many books have you written?
Well, the book was Stick Out Your Balance Sheet and Cough, Best
right.
Practices for Long-Term Business Health. There's another book that's coming out that was the Best Use of Other People's Money, where I was a contributing expert. The other items have been, I've got a number of articles that have been published in business magazines and some industry specialists.
Okay. And again, if you would like to reach him, we can certainly give out the contact information. Is there a phone number that people can get you at, or typically would you like them to go to the website, or both, or what?
Both would be fine. If someone wants to call, 781-2000.